The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQers, TV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show here on Red State Talk Radio, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to say who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, that's right, you can see the face that's made for radio. Head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, and there you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the left side is Bradley's show from Saturday. So if you missed that, that's 2 hours worth of Bradley Dean. You can still watch that up until 3 o'clock this afternoon, at which time he'll be live in that little area on the left side. On the right side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got there. Look for the Rumble icon, bottom right-hand corner. And click on that, and then join us in the chat on Rumble. A lot of friends over there this morning. Good morning. Good to see you guys. And then while you're over there, please subscribe to the channel. Sons of Liberty Radio Live is the channel on Rumble. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. And we appreciate your support over there. And also, we're on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. So we appreciate Mike and his team giving us a spot on their platform. Real quickly, back over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Up under where we're streaming live on the right side of the page is where you can sign up for our email newsletter. Again, that goes out between late evening or late afternoon, early evening. So be sure and sign up for that. That goes out every day. You'll get all our articles, including the morning show archive. And then finally, our store is available. Link is at the top of sonsoflibertymedia.com, or you can get there directly by going to thesonsofliberty.squarespace.com. Okay. And we're highlighting the Soldier of the Cross bundle, $34. Bradley's new book, Soldier of the Cross, black or silver dog tag of your choice, and then shirt in your size. Now, if you get double X or you're larger, it's $5 extra, okay, on the bundle. You can get the shirt by itself for $20. You can pick up the book for $10. And then we also have, and the dog tags are $8. And then we also have all the profits. We're pointing to the front. That's a new book by Bradley, in case you're interested in picking that one up as well. And I don't know how long it's going to be before he has this third one out that he is involved in. Anyway, there you go. There's my spiel. And in case you're wondering, I know I had some people say, well, why don't you scatter those out a little bit? I like to just, can we get it out of the way? And then that way we're focused on whatever we're focused. At least that's how I'm looking at it. Okay. So thank you for your patience and bearing with me when I give these things. you know, over the weekend, I had a couple of stories that happened in the week, and I just didn't get to them and put them out. And so in the process of that, I got some put out this weekend. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is this guy, what's his name? Mike, the new speaker here. I can't even keep up the guy's names. Anyway, Mike Johnson, okay? So this, and I meant to have this open. I don't know why I didn't have it open. So bear with me for just a second, and we'll see if we can maybe mute this. I don't know. So we don't get it playing, and it just sounds terrible. This is something that somebody, I mean, they sent this to me just this weekend. So this was just a couple of days ago. Actually, it was in September of this year. And this is, this is Mike Johnson. Now, look, I don't think you get to a place like that unless either God's put you there, which, look, in his decrees, everything that happens, happens. Okay. If something happens, you can rest assured God decreed it from before the foundation of the world. And you can guarantee that he's using it for good, even though it may be something wicked. He's using it good for his people. Okay? I know some people have a real problem with that, but go read Genesis, where this is exactly what Joseph tells his brothers. The wicked thing that they did, they meant it one way. God meant it for good. Were they wrong and wicked and sinful in what they did? Yep, they sure were. And yet God was accomplishing his purposes by getting Joseph down into Egypt so that he might save a lot of people through their wickedness. Does that justify their wickedness? No, it doesn't. But here was one of the first things that we got from, not one of the first things we got, because this was in September, but this is something that he's opened up here to a congressional hearing. Okay. Take a listen. Wait, hang on. Don't take a listen yet. Me and my technicalities. I did mute the browser. So
founders viewed the ability to amend the Constitution as one of its most important features, and it has been that. At the convention, Elbridge Gerry argued that, quote, the novelty and difficulty of the constitutional experiment requires periodical revision. George Mason similarly acknowledged that, quote, amendments will be necessary and it will be better to provide for them in an easy, regular, and constitutional way. Of course, we've used Article 5, that process, to amend the Constitution 27 times since 1787, most recently in 1992. The provisions of Article 5 create a very difficult process to change the Constitution, and of course, that is by design. They didn't want it to be done arbitrarily. The two mechanisms to amend are very straightforward. An amendment may be proposed by a two-thirds vote of both houses of Congress and then be ratified by three-fourths of the state legislatures. Or an amendment may be proposed by two-thirds of the states in a convention called for that purpose. That amendment must then be ratified by three-fourths of the state legislatures or three-fourths of the conventions called in each state for ratification. To date, no such convention has ever been called, but efforts have been underway in recent years to do so. The witnesses before us today will speak about the process for proposing amendments and specific proposed amendments as well. We'll hear about a proposed amendment introduced by Representative Ralph Norman to impose term limits on members of Congress. I'll say parenthetically, many of us here agree with that idea, and I have joined in legislation for years to urge that change.
Oh, for years!
We'll also
hear
about the balanced budget amendment, which would impose a measure of fiscal discipline that Congress has lacked in recent decades. I certainly agree with that very sensible idea as well.
All right, So he agrees with the idea for term limits. He's been for that for years. So if you really agree with it, why do you not impose term limits upon yourself? Didn't think anybody would ask you that, did you there, Mike? The point I'm wanting to give you here is he cites George Mason, who I also believe said that they didn't have the authority to do what they did, but they needed to do that. Anybody familiar with that quote from William Pitt the Younger? Because if you go back to our first Constitution, which was the Articles of Confederation, how were they to amend the Constitution? Well, all 13 states had to agree to it to amend the Constitution, and that's what they were set up to do at the Constitutional Convention, was to amend the Constitution that existed at the time. What did they do? They wrote you a whole new one with whole new means to ratify it. Instead of 100% unanimity, 13 states, you could get three-fourths. And you can read that, I believe it's in Article 7 of our Constitution right now. So they acknowledged that, and then they wrote this, and yes, we've used those means of amendments through Congress and through the states ratifying things, which, by the way, the states could do without a convention of states, without an Article 5 convention. Guess what? You could go from 500 representatives that you have now to more than 6,500 of them by your state simply ratifying the original First Amendment. We'll try to make that a show that we do on the original First Amendment. It was proposed by George Washington, and it actually gives more of a representation of the people. Now you've got one representative for about 750,000 people. This would give you one representative for about every 50,000. That's much more. I mean, people could run on a shoestring budget. We could keep them here. If you don't understand this plan, I suggest you go to tacticalcivics.com. There is an actual plan in place to right the wrongs. But the people have to do it. And so the people have to be educated as to what's wrong and then how to correct it. So I wanted to play this. This was one of the first things somebody sent me that apparently he seems in favor of this, you know, calling this constitutional convention. And people, you know, when I say that, I've had so many people over the years go, this is not a constitutional convention. It's just for amendments. It won't be a runaway convention. Well, the first one was. They were to amend and they wrote a whole new constitution. You don't think that's going to happen now? We've got guys with entirely new constitutions. Well, but then they have to be passed by 3/4. Not if they throw in a deal like they did in the first one, like Article 7. Maybe they say, hey, you have to have 51%. Maybe they say you just have to have 50% to change to that. What's to stop them? And if you don't think they're going to infiltrate the Convention of States, the Article 5 Constitutional Convention, You're not as smart as you think you are. Of course, they're going to try to do that. So this is the first thing out of the gate that I got. And of course, this was out in September. But he seems all on board with that. That seems like a problem to me. That really does seem like a problem to me. But here we are. Okay. Yesterday, we had a couple of things that came out, and there is a prominent Swiss banker who has called for the arrest of everybody at the World Economic Forum for democide. You guys all know what that is, right? That's where governments attack their people to kill them, to murder them, that were caused by the COVID bioweapon shots. Kind of ask the question, where are Americans on that, too? It's not like these people haven't come out on camera and said what they're out to do. They're out to enslave you. They're out to control you. They're out to make you poor. They're out to destroy you. They've said it. Everybody's all bent out of shape. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to cover for Iran or something like that, okay? But most of us don't even understand what they're saying. We have to rely on somebody else to tell us death to America and all this stuff that they chant. And here are people who say it in English. And they tell you what they want to do, and yet nobody does anything. Why is there no outrage by the media? Because the media is in on it. They're too stupid to figure out that they're gonna eat them up as soon as they're done with us. As soon as they get where they want to be, they're going to eat them up too. So this came out over the weekend. This is from Ethan Huff over at Natural News. The son of one of the co-founders of the World Economic Forum, now a retired Swiss banker. So he's the son of one of the co-founders of this organization. He's now a Swiss banker. He's calling for justice against the criminals who unleashed. And I don't know why they keep wanting to go back to Wuhan coronavirus stuff. It's not Wuhan, guys. Oh, my goodness. Wake up to what's going on, and it's not a virus. That's the part I wish they would correct here. But, you know, there's a lot of Trumpism going on there, too. Pascal Najati, whose father, Hussein Najati, was assassinated in 2013, is reportedly joining forces with Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger to demand full criminal prosecution of all involved in COVID injections, which they both now refer to as bioweapons. These two put together a new documentary film called cutting off the head of the snake that delves into the democide that COVID jab perpetrators engaged in under the guise of fighting a global pandemic, which was largely falsified for maximum terror effect. Najati resigned from his powerful banking position a short while back, but while on the job, he wielded significant influence over world affairs. His job was to advise countries and heads of state on the financial direction of their respective countries. Najati is also responsible for the recent resignation of Swiss President Alain Berset, against whom Najati filed a criminal lawsuit at the High Supreme Court of Switzerland, accusing Berset of making false claims about the safety and effectiveness of mRNA COVID jabs. So you see what's going on here, and I'm going to give you a couple of quotes here from Najati. Here's what he says. Everything evil in the world related to democide, unfortunately, comes from Geneva. Now, we had the video up of that, and I didn't even think to bring that up. We had a short video of that where this was being stated. And if you'll give me just a second, I'll pull that up just because I remember we had uploaded this, and I meant to have something on because I did a late update on that. And so, okay. So I'm going to have to look for it as we go along here. And I'm not sure that I can actually find it. And I do apologize. I meant to have this part up with this. And unfortunately, even Rumble is being a problem in trying to source it. Anyway, if I find it, we'll play it here as we're going along. But for whatever reason, I don't know why. Any of you guys who have a Rumble channel, I just want to throw this out there. Do you have a problem when you're in your back end and you've got the little search bar where you can search your videos, where you put in things and you only get one video that comes up, doesn't matter what you put in? It's really kind of annoying, and it really hampers being able to pull up some things that you want to pull up. In any case, this is what this Swiss banker's calling for. He's calling for them to be arrested. He says, you have who? The World Health Organization in Geneva. You have Gavi, Bill Gates' Vaccine Alliance. Then you have the WEF, which my father was a co-founder and left Klaus Schwab out of disgust, and the early 80s that has diplomatic immunity. Here's what he says. I call on the Swiss authorities and security to arrest those people immediately. Who? Big Pharma, Big Tech, the WEF, Bill Gates, the World Health Organization, many other globalist-controlled entities, according to Najati, are responsible in part for the COVID shot scheme. And they are. And he says, why am I calling for this? Because all of these have advocated a global humanity injection by a bioweapon injecting nanolipids into 5.7 billion people, and we Swiss are hosting them. That's terrible. It's a democide and will be judged. It will be corrected in the name of humanity. Well, I would hope it would be corrected in the name of God. God is the one who gave the law that says you shall not murder. And these people knowingly did this stuff. In fact, we had an article out the other day. I was trying to think of where. Okay. This was one of them. FOIA emails reveal the White House covered up COVID-19 vaccine heart damage. There's another one because later this morning you're going to see it. It's about Pfizer. I thought we had posted it, but I got it ready to post this morning. So 7:15, it should post on sonsoflibertymedia.com. But it's about Pfizer covering up 80% of the deaths in their trials. Yeah, let's see the modern day Slack hecklers, bought and paid for, self-appointed Slack hecklers. That's fact checkers for you people out there who haven't picked up on it. The Slack hecklers, let's see them deal with that.
It was in their first document dump, by the way. It wasn't anything that's just brand new. We knew they were hiding deaths early on. We knew that they knew people were dying early on. The first document dump out of those however many tens of thousands of pages they were to unleash, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, that Pfizer was to release or the FDA was to release regarding that. We have enough evidence to know that these people are attacking us under the guise of helping us. I made mention on Saturday's show about Leonard Horowitz, trying to get him on. I find this guy about as fascinating to listen to as I did LifeWave's David Schmidt. And my understanding is they're friends as well now. And I can see why. They think along the same kind of lines as how things are. But he's calling that out. Great video is one I uploaded on my personal Rumble channel. And I've uploaded several. And I'm probably going to have just a small article and put all these together. It's about four or five of them. This is the one you really want to watch here. I started off with the DNA Pirates of the Sacred Spiral, which was great. Now, look, you're going to have to eat the meat, spit out the bones, okay? When you listen to this stuff, you're going to have to be discerning. But this one right here, Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare. And he goes into the murals at the Denver airport, and he starts tying them back to the other things he's pointed out that's taking place inside. That's the one you want to see. So I'm going to have those up in the archive like I did on Saturday for you guys to check out, except there may be one or two more that I didn't have. So, be sure to check that out. But it's about a 3.5 hour video too. But I guess that's for some people who can't read 600 something page book, you get the gist of what's going on. So be sure and check that out. Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, Leonard Horowitz. It's from 2006. You'll think he's talking about today. With some of the stuff he comes out, he'll have to keep reminding you he's in 2006, just a few years away from 9/11. And so, keep that in mind. So you've got this Swiss banker who's saying that these people need to be arrested. And then you need to ask the question, what about the Americans that aided these people in their nefarious plot? I know some people don't want to, they don't want to go there. It's like this cognitive dissonance. But there's a lot of people who still haven't figured out about Donald Trump and about Operation Warp Speed. And about, I had somebody send me a video. I could actually play it for you right now because it's only a few minutes long. Where this guy is trying to give an excuse for why Operation Warp Speed went forward. Oh, they were going to impose major lockdown and stuff, and there wasn't a choice, and so he had to rush it through, and so they weren't really ready to do it yet, and this, that, and the other. Wait a minute, I thought they already had this stuff set. But we know they were already testing it, at least in 2017, and I'm assuming way back before then. So you've got that going on, and then we have people who just can't let go of Trump, and I listened to an interview yesterday with David Martin and what was the guy's name? Seth, Man in America, I think is the name of it, is the show. And he was interviewing him on that whole issue too. And Dr. Martin isn't willing to let Trump go on that either. The excuses that are given. It's just as bad as Biden. Look, Biden coming in and putting mandates, which are not law, in place, using the force of the law, which should result in up to death for those who are doing it, according to federal statutes, federal code. If you're infringing upon the liberties of people under the color of law, but it's really not law, You can go to jail. Even you can be executed. Up to the penalty is up to death for doing that, infringing on people's liberty. That's a pretty serious thing. I'll guarantee you, if you start doing that, you won't find the boys in blue and the boys in brown infringing on your liberties anymore. You start bringing one of them to justice and make it widely known that you're bringing them to justice by the community, not by, you know, a couple of guys in the back room somewhere. They bring them to justice out in the open, in the public square, and the communities involved. You do it to one, you'll never have to do it to anybody else. Or you shouldn't have to. You'll instruct them in the fear of the Lord. Don't do what this person did. Tim, that's pretty serious. Listen, God is serious. What do you think is going on in our country? And why do you think it's going on? Because we've departed wickedly from our God and we've not upheld justice. Oh, listen, that's, if you're wondering why I'm playing that song Courageous each week now and throwing that in the rotation of songs I play over and over, you'll hear that line in there. Right? Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. A lot of people are willing to seek mercy. What about justice? See, that's a part of it too. Justice is what the law demands. Mercy has nothing to do with the law. It's independent of the law. You know, when we go back to the gospel message, the gospel message must bring the law to bear upon the sinner so that they understand their need for a savior from sin. That's what Jesus is. So if you're not going to talk about the law, then you're not going to be talking about sin. If you're not going to be talking about sin, you can't be talking about a savior from sin, so you have no gospel. You've got a feel-good approach to making alleviate people of their guilt and their conscience without actually removing that. And this is why the law has to be presented. It has to show sinners their sin, their violation of law, their criminal acts against their Creator, so that they'll shut their mouth and say, you know, you're right. And then you can tell them, but there's a Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the one who is able to save sinners from their sin. Pretty simple. Okay? And as long as we let injustice go and we don't bring justice, are we being the salt of the earth? Is that part of what's going on? That's a part of that. That is a part of that. Bringing that to bear. Sadly, what we get is we get a lot of politicians who will talk a good game. Oh, they broke the law. Boy, they're a traitor. Oh, they broke this law and they broke that law and blah, 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 blah. And they never bring them to justice. They look at you and they go, but if you'll elect me and help me and send $20 into my campaign, we can really fight this thing. Well, you're already there. You're already there. Are you not fighting it now? Are you not actually dealing with it now? And I realize Congress has, they don't have the power of law enforcement. They are supposed to write legislation that they've been given authority on by the people. They don't have law enforcement powers, but they do have the ability to start referring all this stuff over to the executive branch to be dealt with. The problem is the executive branch has been corrupted so much. We can barely get, every once in a while you'll hear somebody turns this over to the Justice Department. Rand Paul did that, and I think his offices were burned. And every once in a while, you know, you hear about that, but we don't see the other. Anyway, so this is the Swiss banker calling for what's going on here with the WEF. And I couldn't agree more, but it's all the people they're entangled with. You know, I can sit here and I can listen to somebody like a Tulsi Gabbard, and I'm like, okay, a lot of this on your foreign policy, I will agree with. But when she gets domestic, I mean, this is a lady who took the oath, right? A lady who served in the military. And you're kind of sitting here going, did they not teach you what these things mean? Because she supports things that are clearly unconstitutional, and yet she's tied to the WEF. There are other ones too, in our government and governments abroad. who are tied to the World Economic Forum. They should be held accountable for these things too. They're not speaking out against them. But we got the first thing we got to do is deal in our own backyard first. And if we can't bring justice against those who work for us, our indentured servants, if we can't bring justice against them, what makes us think we're going to be bringing anything against anybody else? Nothing. We have to demand justice. It is not enough for people to simply resign and get away from the consequences of their actions. It's not enough to do that. Okay? And this is some. Some of you have been following, we had Professor David Clements on, and he's done a lot with regard to the voting fraud and things that are going on. And some of you have seen some of his stuff that's taken place there. Sorry, I had to get some tea. All right, so you know that a lot of the people who have been imprisoned, a lot of them, were just American citizens exercising their freedom of speech, the right to protest their government and present their grievances. They didn't tear up things. They weren't destructive. They walked into what's supposed to be their capital, right? Supposed to be, that's what we're told, their capital. They looked around. Some of them said words. They were let in by the Capitol Police. And now many of them are spending double-digit years in prison, federal prison. It's an absolute injustice. Then we got last week, Owen Schroyer, used to be with InfoWars. I don't watch any of the stuff anymore, so I don't know. Somebody said he was with Steve Bannon in the War Room. Owen Schroyer, if you know his name, you know who he is, and you'll know where he's from and all the other. He used to be with InfoWars. He was turning himself in, I think it was down in Louisiana, to serve 60 days in prison for chanting 1776 on January the 6th, 2021. 60 days in prison. How is doing that a violation of the law? It's not. It's supposed to be protected under law. This tells you how corrupt the system is. Oh, I'm not denying that every once in a while you get some good stuff come through. But should Mr. Schroyer be going to jail for 2 months because he chanted 1776? Agree with him or don't agree with him? Is that really what we should be doing? Now, I can hear some of you trans delusionals out there and some of you who, you know, you're sawing your conscience in two. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's just an evil, wicked man. Whatever. Because he simply believes in liberty and God-given rights and wanting to hold a tyrannical government accountable and bring and rein them in. I know there's some people like that. I get it. And there's some of you who think that about me or about Bradley because of things we say. Oh, you should be shut up. If you don't remember, there's a great piece. Kim Iverson, I don't know if I made mention of this the other day or not, but I've had it on my mind. This lady, Kim Iverson, I just caught her in the side here. I knew the name from somewhere. Anyway, I looked it up. I guess she used to report for Fox or somebody. I don't know. But she seems like in her reporting and her talking and stuff that she does in her show, and I've only watched like one and a half of them. But it seems like she tries to be fair with both sides and understanding what she's presenting. And she was doing that the other day with the whole Israel-Gaza saga. And one of the things that she did was she called out people like Dave Rubin. Where's he at? Is he at the Daily Wire? Him and Shapiro? That's his, right? Shapiro is Daily Wire, I think. She called out Shapiro and Dave Rubin because of the fact they want to shut down protesters who are for who are, you know, protesting on behalf of the Palestinian people, not Hamas. Now, there was some protests for Hamas, don't get me wrong, but specifically for college kids who were out protesting the genocide that's been going on with the Palestinians. I mean, come on, guys, back up a little bit. Most of the time when you see the guys shoot the rockets at Israel, and I'm not saying they're right in doing that. They're completely wrong in doing that, too, the guys who are doing that. But when's the last time you really seen some serious damage that was caused by that to Israel? I mean, you said, and that doesn't justify it. Don't get me wrong, because both sides, Hamas, and keep this in mind. This was the part that I really liked that she played out. Hamas is distinct from the Palestinians. Now, I know you've been taught they're one and the same, and I realize there's some Palestinians who support the guys. I get it. There's a lot who don't. And the same thing is true with Israel and what they do. Not everything they do is right and should be praised and blessed. It isn't. They've been engaged in some of this propaganda as well. So with that said, here's Owen Schroyer. I'm gonna let him speak. It's only about a 2-minute video here. If we have to recap some things, we'll do that. But here's what he had to say before he turned himself in.
Owen Schroyer here, and I am about to turn myself in to be a speech prisoner in Biden's America. Unfortunately, we knew that things would get this bad. Unfortunately, we knew the Democrats were this corrupt. And now I have to hit the front lines and be a speech prisoner in Biden's America. And as I go, I am currently involved in litigation to try to get my original Twitter account back at All I Do Is Owen, where I had over 300,000 followers, but I've been censored there for years. So in the meantime, while I'm away, I've launched this Twitter account at Owen Schroyer 1776. It's actually run by a media team. It's not run by me, but my media team, who will be giving you updates while I'm incarcerated, daily updates while I'm incarcerated, sharing old video clips, new video clips, and as well as phone audio recordings and maybe even live recordings while I'm away. So please follow this account at Owen Schroyer 1776 for updates while I'm away, and spread this video far and wide to let others know, hey, Owen Schroyer is back on Twitter right here at Owen Schroyer 1776. And that year, 1776, is extremely important, not just because it was the founding year of our country, but the U.S. government is arguing that it's illegal for me to say 1776 in Washington, D.C. Don't believe me? Check the U.S. government sentencing memo for yourself. They said that me chanting 1776 in Washington, D.C. is worthy of 60 days in prison. So it's Owen Schroyer 1776. Please share this video, let people know I'm back on Twitter, and follow this account for updates while I'm away. Godspeed and God bless.
Okay, all right. So you get the idea of what's going on here. And, you know, they did put this in there. I was thinking I had the the link to the sentencing. I'm not sure. I opened it up to read it, and then I didn't put a link in there, and I apologize for that. But in any case, it's really interesting, isn't it? A guy goes up there and chants a year and gets 60 days. All right, if that isn't justice turned on its head, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. And it's not just that. Let me give you a couple of headlines that we had. It's more than just these things here. It's more than just Owen. Okay. Now they're coming along. OSHA is coming on claiming their agency never issued COVID shot mandates. Can you believe that? SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Mm-hmm. They claim they never did. Of course they did. Oh, they were at the forefront. Then we have Child Protective Services. There was a former foster child Her name was Christine, and I gathered that she was probably married, but I went ahead and used her maiden name because they didn't give it. Gaulin, G-A-U-L-I-N, had two children in her foster care, or while she was in foster care. She was raped, tortured, and abused for decades. She was found dead, left behind her two children. Government's not held accountable. Well, we were trying to help the children. See, when you listen to the devil, I'm telling you, when you listen to the devil about putting these kinds of things in, you've got to beware. Like that old poem that Donald Trump read for everybody, the snake, you got to be recognizing that when you let him in, when you bring him in, you know they're a snake when you brought them in. It's got to be one of the most foolish things I've ever heard of in my life for government to have a child protective services. Just for the people to institute that is got to be one of the most foolish. But people get manipulated and they say, oh, we need that because some child might be abused, this, that, and the other. And I'm not saying don't care for the children. I'm saying care for the children. But you care for the children. Don't leave it to a, you know, government to go care for the children. You go care for them. That's why God has you here. That's why he has me here. Charity comes from the individual. It does not come from government. Then I talked to you about FOIA emails reveal White House cover up COVID-19 vaccine heart damage. How many people are involved in that in various agencies of our government? The pushing of the shots, knowing they're deadly, knowing the adverse effects they have, and no justice. Here's one last one. This was from Dr. Vernon Coleman, how today's doctors are killing their patients. And he goes into listing out some of the things, many of them we've talked about on Saturday with Kate. They're in on it too. The Mockingbird Media gets the funding to put the programming before you on all these drugs that they want to pump out to you. When did they start doing this? What was it? In the 90s, I think, maybe into the 2000s. I mean, anything that you watched on the boob tube had some sort of pharmaceutical. You know, does your nose run? Well, we've got this. Go ask your doctor about it. And the side effects are, you know, up to and including death. No thanks. I'll just have a runny nose. I mean, I remember working on job sites, listening to talk radio shows at the time, and they would have those commercials come on. And I remember one of them was about, do you feel shy? You know, do you have trouble with crowds? Well, we've got a pill for you. What? You got a pill for shyness? Yeah, back in my day, we didn't need a pill for that. There was something else for that. But the point is this. They want to sell you these pharmaceuticals. Get these poisons in your body. And I'm telling you right now, watch Dr. Leonard Horowitz, the one I recommended to you. Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare. If you want to understand what's really going on there, you're going to hear it right there, and that's in 2006. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it in that, exactly what's going on. So what have we been told? Well, in Isaiah Chapter 1, here's what we read. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Now, I'm going to say that the majority of the words of Scripture are aimed at us. Though they were written for specific people, they were written for our benefit. You understand the difference? This was not written to Tim Brown. It was written to people at the time. However, it's written for Tim Brown's benefit as much as yours. And what I see here is a direction at men. Men are supposed to lead. They're supposed to lead. And sadly, what I find in the vacuum that has been created by a lack of Christian men stepping forward and truly leading is I see men stepping up to try and lead, but they've been tainted. You know, I've listened to some of the talks. I can't listen to a whole bunch of it because I understand where they're coming from. This guy, Andrew Tate, wants to talk about men. There's a lot of things he says that are good and right. And in the midst of it, a whole lot of stuff that's really bad. And I told my boys, they were listening to a couple of things. He was saying, well, he says some good things here. And I said, yep. I said, but be careful. This is the same guy who went and followed Islam. And he wants to lead people into that. Now, how he holds that and holds his, well, I guess I see. I see how he holds it. But that's the point. God has instructed us men as to what we're to do. We're to learn to do well, cease to do evil, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. That's our job as men, and to judge the fatherless. We're to take care of orphans and widows. Why? Because God loves them with a special love. There's no question. He calls them out specifically in the Scripture. He warns against those who would take advantage of them or hurt them. Then we have that passage out of Micah. By the way, this is our next grandson's name, Micah. He's going to be due sometime, I guess, within the next month. We're praying for that anyway. This is what God says, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth into the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is abominable, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee and making thee desolate because of thy sins. This is what God says to the disobedient people. Does that sound like what's going on today too? Yeah, same thing. Nothing new under the sun. Again, men find new ways to commit the same old sins. That's what they're doing. The prophet Amos called for this judgment, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. See, the prophets came in. Their message was spiritual, but it definitely had a very practical impact. Why? Because those two things are intersected with one another. It's not just the spiritual, and it's not just the physical. They're working together. They're working together. And the one thing, again, we leave off. You know, I don't know how alleged conservatives, constitutionalists, and Christians, I don't know how they've been so dumbed down that they think making memes or chanting F Joe Biden or whatever, I don't understand how they think that's going to accomplish something. It's not. It may make you feel good for a moment, but the wheels of that machinery, of that beast, keep turning towards your house and mine. There's got to be something that's done about it. Proverbs chapter 21 says, it is joy to the just to do judgment. It is joy to the just to do judgment. Why is that? I think it's because we bear the image of God. And part of the image of God is that he is just and that he's holy. And believe it or not, we still bear that image, even though it may be marred. And so when we see justice done, we rejoice in that. Why? Because that's what justice is for, is to deal with the evildoer. And what is that, friends? That is a mercy to the people they did evil against. It's a mercy to the people. And we've got it backwards. We're trying to give mercy to people who deserve justice, who are unrepentant at that. We're trying to give them mercy. It distorts what God has shown us in the gospel. It distorts that. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you want mercy, if you truly want it from your heart, you can have it. But you have it on God's terms, not yours. And he talks about repentance. What's that going to look like? What is that supposed to look like in the midst of all that we're seeing here? Going back to Isaiah chapter 30, here's what we read. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. See, there's a lot of people that become impassioned about these things and they just rush out and do their thing. And they may be completely wrong because of whatever information they've been fed is driving them to a particular action. But I think we can see all the evidence, not only documented, not only coming from these people's mouths, not only being seen as they parade their lawlessness across the stage on the national scene here, but we're seeing the effects of it. We're seeing it in the infringements on our liberties. We're seeing it in the growing police state. Police in many cities in the United States think that they're somehow king, you know, judge, jury, executioner, all in one thing. And I'm sure that, you know, it's just that, look, part of man's nature, if he's given that kind of authority, boy, you know, you have to keep an eye on those guys. Why? Because it will corrupt them, just like it can corrupt any of you or me. So I like that multitude of counselors, you know? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, verse 16, excuse me. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. And all go into one place, all over the dust, and all turn to dust again. Yeah, there's our end on this earth. All of us are going to go that way. But where are we continuing to go after that? I don't know about you, but the scripture tells me that when I leave here, I go and be with the Lord. But until then, I think about what Paul was looking for. The creation groaning, looking for the earnest expectation of the sons of God. You know, one day we're promised that we will be glorified. And I'm hoping before that time that we begin to shine brightly as the stars and we start glorifying our Father in heaven by upholding justice as well as mercy. And turn back the evil and put it away from us the way he said to do. We're supposed to be the kings here in the United States, not those who work for us. Amen? All right, Bradley, be with you at 3. Lord willing, we'll be back in the morning. Top astrophysicist is going to be with us. You don't want to miss that. See you then.